You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 at AM 760 in Hawaii. I'm joined as always by Brandon Deutsch, Armani Buckets. At least we got more of the crew. G. Hay Wiley will be joining us perhaps tomorrow. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. I mean, Brandon, I know we want to hear about the wedding a little bit. I know you were at the wedding. Yeah.
No, it was fantastic. Colorado's so beautiful, man. I'd love to move there, but it's like, you know.
How far away was this from Denver?
It was about 40 minutes. It was in Loveland. So.
And you were telling me off air that there's not a lot of, it's nature, basically.
It's beautiful, though. We went to this place called Shields, too, which was there. It was just kind of like a Dick's Sporting Goods on steroids. There was like a Ferris wheel in this place. There was, jeez. I mean, it had a whole section of basketball hoops, football stuff. They even had like, not my thing, but they had a whole thing for like hunting, guns, ammunition, stuff like that. It was a huge store. It looked like a movie theater.
So I'm assuming fishing, hunting is like the culture out there.
Yeah. It's pretty, I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's not a big city, you know, so. Yeah.
Well, you came home to a very special surprise, and we'll lead with that today. With that said, let's get to today's headlines brought to you by Circa Sports. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contests are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Hit it, Buckets.
All right, speaking of the surprise, Brandon's Angels announced Tuesday that owner Artie Moreno is looking to sell the team. Angels legend Rod Carew took to Twitter to express his new hope for the Angels after news of the potential sale broke. Moreno is known as one of the most hands-on owners in baseball, and fans have continuously been very vocal about their disapproval of him making baseball operations decisions. What are your guys' thoughts here? Do the Angels end up getting sold? Who are the prospective buyers, and what does this mean for the long-term future of the team?
A lot to unpack here. You know, when I got that press release, we had just done the show for Tuesday, and it was so rare to have a press release like that, because normally it gets leaked that the team is up for sale or you're looking to potentially sell the team. It is such a bad relationship that Darty Moreno has with the fan base, and so he knew for himself. And by the way, the cost of these franchises is nuts. We just found out what the Dallas Cowboys are worth, like $8 billion.
And the Broncos got sold for $4 billion.
Right? So, you know, if you have one of these, you know, it's so rare to have a professional team. So he has one. And at this point in time, he's been doing it for 20 years. The fan base hates him. The alumni, the former players don't like him. He has two of the top five players, not only in the game right now, two of the transcendent talents. He's got to move on. So there's a lot to unpack here. Briefly for me, and I'll hand it over to our lifelong fan over here. I mean, when I say that respectfully, because I know that you have a lot to touch on as well.
It's all good.
Okay, so they will get sold. Again, you don't put out a press release like this unless the team will get sold. There's no reason for him to go through this process and say, well, actually, I'm going to keep the team. This team will get sold. The only question is how long will that process take? Prospective buyers, who knows? But, I mean, you could look in market, Stan Kroenke, potentially, Steve Ballmer, potentially. Yep. Again, with those two guys, do they really care about the game? Steve Ballmer, my view is he's... loves hoops. I think that's the only thing he cares about. And finally, for me, the biggest question, the first thing that popped into my mind when this happened, what does this mean for the future of Shohei? Yeah. Does this mean that Shohei's happy? And I think the number one thing that has to happen with the person who comes in, the number one priority, keeping Shohei here.
Not only that, like the number one priority, just don't be hands-on. Let the GM do his job, which is like, I mean, we saw Jerry Dipoto when he worked for the Angels years ago. Took the fall for the Josh Hamilton deal, took the fall for the Pujols deal. And I mean, the team just has a losing atmosphere. Pujols was terrible for us in the last couple of years, and look what he's doing for the Cardinals right now. Now, you could make the conspiracy theory that the balls are juiced for him because they want him to get him to 700 and stuff, but the point is he's hitting the ball. He couldn't do that with the Angels. Angels can't hit to save their life right now. They're the worst team in baseball. They have a manager who is inept and starts fights, right? Like Phil Nevin, he's just a meathead. No one really likes him around the league. This is just like the truth. He's not a good manager. And it's just, it's, you know, it would be unfair to call it anything more than a clown show organization right now. That's what it is. They haven't made the playoffs in years. They have a good GM who's drafted really well in Perry Minashian. They have some good players in the farm system. But yes, the priority is Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, getting him healthy, Rendon, and spending money. They need an owner that's going to be rich. And honestly, if you think about where the Angels are in Orange County, in California, I mean... from a perspective, I know Steve Ballmer likes hoops, but just from a money-making perspective, I mean, this is going to be a huge, 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 it's going to be interesting. Everyone's going to be
interested. One of the reasons maybe Steve Ballmer could do this is if you want a TV channel, you can't just have one with the Clippers. No disrespect to the Clippers, but if you package those two teams together,
you can get one.
You can totally
the
get
two
one.
Teams in, you know, the two second teams in LA, and like with Steve Ballmer's legacy, I think that's important too, because he's turned the Clippers into a winner. They're going to win a championship at some point, maybe as soon as this season. If he buys the Angels and turns them into a World Series contender after years of failure, you know, that his legacy is like, I took these two teams, I put this money in, and now they're fantastic and they're competing with the Dodgers and the Lakers and stuff like that, right? So obviously the Angels don't play in Los Angeles like the Clippers, but maybe a name change to the California Angels, kind of embrace that back to the California Angels, I think would be good. Yeah. I know they get money.
You got some history too there.
Exactly.
So that's the cool thing. The Los Angeles thing just doesn't sit well. Now, the other thing that could potentially be in play, they could move to Long Beach. There's been talk about that. Now, obviously, if they move to Long Beach, they can keep that name. That name makes sense. But I mean, so many questions here.
The thing is it's going to be like, it's going to get sold for so much money. I think Artie Moreno, thank gosh, he's finally said, you know, no one really likes me. Look at Rod Carew, Angels legend. It's just like, finally, there's new hope. I mean, there is new hope. Now I expect if this team gets sold this offseason, which I think it does, that Ohtani will resign, Trout will be there, and they'll start winning a ton of, I mean, it's all about the owner. You know what I'm saying? They provide money, they're going to be good. Look at Steve Cohen in the Mets.
Yeah. Those are my two thoughts exactly, Arash. You just hit on it. The relocation possibility with this team. The mayor of Anaheim came out immediately yesterday and said their priority is to keep Angels baseball in Anaheim. And then the name of the Angels, whether they want to make it the California Angels, the Anaheim Angels again, but it never sat right with me as more of, you know, a casual observer of the sport. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim never really
sat
right.
No, I think California Angels is the move because they've started to embrace that like surf culture in Orange County and Newport Beach, and they have a huge fan base in Orange County all the way into San Diego and some into, you know, Los Angeles. If they're the California Angels, it kind of embraces the state and embraces that vibe.
So what would your thoughts be on a potential move to Long Beach? Would you be opposed to that? Would you not
I
care?
I think I wouldn't care. I mean, they can obviously keep the LA Angels, but they're never going to compete with the Dodgers, right? So I think it's smart if they stay in Orange County. It doesn't have to be Anaheim, but they have a stadium there, so why not play in Anaheim? And it's like, embrace this whole state, not Los Angeles, because Los Angeles is always going to ride with the Dodgers, just like the Lakers, you know.
And what do we know what's going on with Angel Stadium in as a whole?
Well, that I think was the first domino to fall here, where they had a deal in place for the team to take control of it. That fell through. I really think when that happened, this is when this process began to come into place, where it's like, do I really want to go through this process? Because they're really having to start from scratch. And I forget all the story, but there was a lot of things happening behind closed doors. And
well, yeah, I mean, Artie Moreno is like widely known, and no disrespect to him, but one of the worst owners in sports. I mean, everyone and their mom knows it. You know what I'm saying? No offense to moms. They know a lot. But you know what I, you know what I mean? It's the same. Like, everyone knows Artie Moreno sucks. He's bankrolling guys. He only wants stars. That's why they didn't go out and get Carlos Rodon last summer. He was one of the best left-handed pitchers in the league. Oh, he wasn't big enough for Artie Moreno. That's like a thing with him. Finally, a new owner will trust analytics, will trust the player development department.
We don't know that yet.
Well, it will. I mean, you can't buy the team unless you're rich. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's going to be someone super rich, whether it's a hedge fund manager in Newport Beach.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, he did spend. Now, the big name signings did not work, but I mean, when they got Pujols, I mean, that was a...
Great for TV.
Great for TV. Big, big contract. At the end of the day, it didn't work. But I mean, I can't knock him for saying, hey, listen, he went out and got one of the greatest players of all time.
But it's also like this. He was one of the only two owners in the whole MLB to oppose the minor league new stuff. Oh, so he doesn't pay his minor leaguers anything. They hate him. The organization, the players that aren't in the MLB get paid nothing. They have no amenities, especially no benefits. Versus like the Dodgers organization, part of the reason why they're so good is, yeah, they don't pay them like a bit more, but they provide housing. They give them great trainers. And they, because think about like this, if you want to have a successful MLB team, player development, you want these guys to feel safe. You want them to develop correctly. The Angels prioritize the stars at the top. They pay the money. Artie has paid the money to the guys at the top and has screwed the minor leaguers. And that's why those guys don't develop. That's why the team sucks.
Like, just out of curiosity, who do we know who the other team is that doesn't do that kind of stuff with the minor leaguers?
I have no. I think it's Oakland. Okay. But I don't know for sure. I mean, it makes sense. They have no money. But a team like Artie is the cheapest guy in the world. Yeah. Cheapest guy. You have so much money. And just because you're paying Trout and Ohtani, or not even Ohtani, Rendon, they don't even pay Ohtani yet all this money, doesn't mean you pay the minor. Like, this is such a problem. There's a reason why the MLB is getting sued for not, like, minor leaguers get paid sometimes $8 a day, dude. And it's think about it. It's this American dream thing, which is true. The American dream is real, but it's one of those things like they promise, like, oh, you have a chance to get to the MLB where you'll make like at least at base $500,000, right? But right now you're gonna make nothing. So Artie was one of those proponents, like, promise the dream, give them nothing in the minors. But how are they going to succeed if they get nothing in the minors?
Yeah,
they're not going to be, you know, they don't have good nutrition. Not a good mental health is a huge problem there. They need to completely overhaul the player development, pay them more. Like the Dodgers, pay money for the guys in the MLB and pay money to player development. That's important. That's why the Dodgers are a dynasty.
Well, speaking of the Dodgers, Walker Buehler took to Instagram to inform everyone yesterday that he will be getting his second Tommy John surgery and may not return until the 2024 MLB season. As the Dodgers ace, this one was tough to swallow for all fans of baseball, as Buehler will not only be unable to return this season, but likely next season as well. How big of a loss do you guys think this is for the Dodgers in the next couple of years?
This was brutal because it was bad enough when we found out he would be gone for this season. Again, the expectation was that he'd be back right before the playoffs, and like, what a big addition that would be. Not only is he going to miss this year, he's going to miss next year. And Brandon, second Tommy John, how does that change things?
Not as big of a deal as people think, because there's a lot of good pitchers that have had two Tommy Johns. Tyler Glass now is in the process of coming back from a second Tommy John. He's going to be an ace again. Like, it happens, especially with guys that, you know, I'm not going to say Walker Buehler's short because he's 6'2", but a guy that kind of uses all of his energy and, you know, puts his arm in compromising positions, he throws really hard. If you throw over 95 miles an hour, likelihood of Tommy John, and the bigger you are and the more efficient your mechanics are, it doesn't happen as much. But even Jacob DeGrom has had arm issues the past couple of years. He's had multiple elbow problems the past like 4 or 5 years, and he's the best pitcher in the MLB, and he has perfect mechanics. So I think it's just like the pressure on the arm. We're gonna see this more in baseball. Like, it's rare you get a Justin Verlander, who's coming off Tommy John, by the way. It's rare you get like a Max Scherzer, guys like that, that can just pitch into their 40s and maintain velocity and rarely get hurt. Like, that's rare. That's unnatural. That's like a Nolan Ryan-esque thing. This is something that's becoming more natural. Guys are all throwing over 95 miles an hour. It's stressful on the elbow. It's going to happen, especially with a guy that had so many innings early, right after Tommy John. He was brought up to the MLB, right, like a year later, and he had so many innings under his belt the past couple of years. So it's not a big deal. It is, I guess, for 2023, but Dustin May is going to have to step up next year. They're going to have to bring up Bobby Miller and Gavin Stone in the rotation with Pepio, who they just sent back down to AAA because they got Gratterall back, which is important. You know, no more Kimbrel, thank gosh. But they have, the thing is, it's like, it goes back to player development, what I was saying about the Angels. Great player development. The Dodgers are just the gold standard. They can just pick and choose players and just put them in, and they're going to be good, right? Yeah. So it's going to work out. It's just, it sucks because Buehler is such a good talent that he won't pitch until 24, but Dodgers will be fine.
It is very unfortunate for sure. Moving on, the LA Lakers are reportedly out on Kyrie Irving and could start next season with Russell Westbrook on the roster. Reports surfaced yesterday that the Lakers could be interested in Utah Jazz Bojan Bogdanović and newly acquired Utah Jazz Patrick Beverley. They also still have the Indiana Pacers option, but if they are not willing to include the two first-round picks for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, that remains unlikely. What is the move here, guys, for Rob Pelinka and the Lakers?
They have to do something, and I know that's very simplistic, but they can't run it back. Again, you can't run things back with a below 500 team. Pat Bev, and I'm assuming this is them as the third team in some kind of a trade, Pat Bev at least changes the culture of the team. Pat Bev will get into the face of players who are not trying, who are not playing defense. I mean, need guys like that. So if Pat Bev comes in and the Lakers are, and I don't know what they would have to be defensively, Brandon, to be, if they are, let's just say, 10th, 11th, 12th.
Yeah, like, I think people like Grant and I were, and Grant's one of the smartest guys I know about sports. You know, we're lucky to have him as a guest, occasionally, and have him in our family. But like, me and him are saying, like, the Lakers, everyone's like, oh, they're, even if they run it back, like, no, let's say Russell Westbrook won't get that many minutes if they keep him. I doubt they keep him, but if they do, they'll have Dennis Schroeder, who they're going to sign probably as point guard, or Kendrick Nunn, right? The thing is, they got so much younger, athletic, and better defense, and Darvin Ham is a defensive wizard, so they're going to be better. Everyone's like, oh, they're going to suck since they didn't get Kyrie Irving. I disagree. If Anthony Davis is healthy, it was the same thing last year. Yeah, it was different because of Russell Westbrook. LeBron is still, in my opinion, the best player in the NBA, but he could be top three. I know Giannis has a great argument for that. It's not as big of a deal, Arash, as people are saying. I know you're with Grant and I here. Like, the Lakers will be better. They will win with or without Kyrie. They're not going to get Kyrie, but they're going to win 40 to 45 games at least. It's not going to be another 33-win season because they got better defensively. They're going to be a top 15 defensive team. If they get Beverly, Arash is right. It changes the identity. Every team Beverly goes to, they are a great team. Like, you saw with the Timberwolves, what he did to get him into the playoffs last year, and what he did defensively for Jared Vanderbilt, who was traded to Utah, to Anthony Edwards. Oh my gosh, Anthony Edwards is now one of the best young defenders in the league because of Patrick Beverley, part of like his influence. I know Laker fans don't like him because of his time on the Clippers, but man, I would do anything to have Patrick Beverley on my team, because the Lakers, you can lock them in as a playoff team, as a top seven playoff team, if Patrick Beverley is on the team right there.
You know? Guys keep talking about defense and culture, and adding Pat Bev, I completely agree, Brandon. It does exactly that. Now, this is going to sound a little bit weird to say with a team with LeBron and AD, but okay, so I was scrolling through social media the other day. Juan Toscano-Anderson, you mentioned this, as the Lakers signed him, already has a mural in LA. Yeah. When I think of who is the Lakers' lockdown defender?
Toscano-Anderson.
Right now, it's Toscano-Anderson.
He's great. I love Toscano-Anderson.
I agree. And then you add a Beverly. This team, again, it's hard to say this with LeBron and Davis on the team, but the scrappiness that would probably ensue, it reminds me of the Clippers right before they got PG and Kawhi, which was Pat Bev, the 8-seed Clippers with Lou Williams.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we are going to play this style that is easy that to root
because
for.
Did you watch the Lakers last year? They played lackadaisical. Yeah. They didn't try. They thought they were the Lakers. Everyone was trying to beat them, and they didn't. They had no heart. They played with no heart. Now, with Austin Reeves, who's taken in, he's going to have a huge year, by the way, and I know he's penciled in as a starter, they say, reports. Well, that remains to be seen. But, like, if you get these guys, people are sleeping on Darvin Ham as a coach. This is like an Ime Udoka-type hire.
My biggest question mark, though, and it continues to be until they address it, is the center position, because we don't know if Davis...
No, I disagree. I think it's shooting.
Thomas Bryant and
he's
Damian
great.
Jones.
They're both great. I disagree. Thomas Bryant was 40% from three in his last full season.
Low
healthy.
Risk, high reward. I get it. But it's just like, if
that's
that
how you
doesn't
win championships.
Work, and by the way,
that's what we did in 2020.
Dwight and JaVale, it's exactly what you did. You're absolutely right. So, and at that point, a lot of people thought Dwight and JaVale was not going to work, me included. And it worked. So Pelinka has a track record of finding these diamonds
right.
in the rough.
They need to improve their shooting, though, unless they're just going to bring up Cole Swider, which I think they'll do anyways. They need to make a trade for something, right, Arash? They need shooting.
Yeah, but the biggest thing is, at least we can move on past this. And we've talked about this on the show, that KD is holding up. Like, I think beginning this weekend, moving forward, you'll see a lot of these guys get picked up off the board. People will move on with the trades that they have to make. And the Lakers will make a trade. I have no doubt about that. What that trade looks like, who they bring in, but there's no way that they're going to stand pat. And I refuse to believe that Russell Westbrook's on this team. I really refuse to believe
but
that.
But think about this, too. His value's at an all-time low.
I know.
But will he raise his value? I think he'll have a better season, even if he's on the Lakers. I do. Yeah. I just think you can't win a championship with him, so they're going to have to trade him at the deadline anyways, right?
Really? Joey Gallo, by the way.
Exactly.
Just
change the scenery.
Changes everything.
Russell Westbrook is still Russell Westbrook.
Like. Really quickly, Arash, do you think that, you know, the Rockets sat out John Wall last year. Do you see any possibility?
I don't see that happening. Listen, if they haven't moved him, they are not going to force him to sit at home. I get it. My hope, and I mean, this is like, listen, I am the most like optimistic guy that you'll meet. I don't think he's going to change his ways. I mean, my hope is that, okay, listen, if he has to play with the team this year, they'll figure it out and, you know, maybe he'll come off the bench. I just don't see that happening. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by my good friend, Alicia Del Valle in studio. How lucky are we when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California. The Fan in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment or just want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's go out to the Circa Sports guest hotline, although the guest is in studio today. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with $12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit CircaSports.com for details, and here she is, Alicia Del Valle. Alicia, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, hello. It's good to see you in person.
I know. It's been way too long.
It's been way... Was it Hawaii the last time I saw you?
No, that would have been way too long. Although we are live on the air in Hawaii. How cool is that, Alicia?
I know.
Listen, we have to begin with the team's hat that you're wearing right now. The Los Angeles Dodgers are playing so well right now, but we do have to begin with some news. Walker Buehler. Mm-hmm. I mean, we found out that, you know, I think think we were all bummed that he was going to miss the postseason. That going to come back this season. Finding out Tommy John surgery, he's out next season. How big of a loss will that be?
It's a big one.
Yeah.
And it's his second Tommy John surgery.
I know, right?
Jiminy crickets. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, as much as we're going to miss him and it hurts, the Dodgers are so stacked.
Yeah.
I mean, we are just... what is it? An embarrassment of riches, I think I heard you gentlemen say. Yeah, like, yeah, it is so much. And thankfully, you've got Gonsolin, who I watched win his 16th last night.
Mm-hmm.
Another sold-out game. Urias doing his thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go on. Anderson, right? So, and what, my favorite, Kershaw, he'll be back.
That's right.
I really believe that. I'm manifesting that. He will be back, yeah, and he will be Kersh, you know? And so, I'm... yes, it hurts, but I'm not worried. We are spoiled.
I mean, speaking of spoiled, what is it like right now to be a sports fan here in Los Angeles? You are a Rams fan. You are a Dodgers fan. You are a Lakers fan. Over the past 2 years, it has been a messed up 2 years, like, away from sports. But as a sports fan, your teams have won. What has that been like for you?
Are you saying I'm a good luck charm?
You are!
I love this. No, that's how I was raised. My father, grandparents, it's a generational thing, you know? And I don't have any brothers. My dad took us to the games.
Yeah.
USC football. That's
right.
The only school I wanted to go to. And I'm the first one in my family to go to college. So to go to USC was like bigger than big. And then didn't hurt that we dominated. So I got to go, although I was there for the last year of... I was there.
Was it Hackett?
No. Yeah, it was pre-Carroll, but then right when Carroll got there. And it took one year.
That first year, they go 6-6, but you saw them, like, beginning to change things.
Still exciting.
And then, like, that next year, like, they take off like a rocket ship. Mm-hmm. Carson Palmer wins the Heisman Trophy.
I know.
It was amazing.
He was also a communications major.
Ah, there you go.
Just, like, trying to align myself with greatness any chance I get.
I love that.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's L.A.
What was that like, though, during the pandemic? Though, like, you know, did it take away from those that we didn't have the parade, that we didn't have that moment, you know, because when these teams win, the cool thing about this city is how it brings everyone together.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so we watched the games at home, we had fun at home, but we didn't get the parade.
Well, I had to be there. I knew we were going to win, so I went to Fort Worth.
Oh,
I was
that's
there
right, yeah,
to watch Urias
throw
that final pitch and win it for us. And but, I mean, do we want a parade? Yes.
Of course.
Do we want the props? There was even talk. I think LeBron was trying to say, let's have a parade together. Remember
I
those
think
rumors?
The Rams would have really, I get that the Rams wanted to do their own thing, but that the streets of Los Angeles would have been so packed if had joined in with the, you know, the Lakers and the Dodgers. And again, no knock on the Rams, and you were the first one just because your dad was such a big fan saying, hey, they're back in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And so I do think it's taken Los Angeles some time to embrace them. Like my co-host right here, they don't remember when the Rams were first here. So this new generation of fans, now they've become fans of this team. You know,
right.
Now they've become fans of like Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald. It just takes time.
It's almost like Showtime. We've got Showtime on three different arenas.
Yeah.
Just the spectacle of SoFi itself. I was listening to one of your shows. I think it was one of the more recent, and it was preseason.
Yeah.
And you were telling people, go to SoFi. $8 tickets.
It was $8. That's right. $8.
Jiminy, yes.
I'm like, if you haven't gone.
It's gorgeous.
A tour. And by the way, I highly recommend the tour because it's kind of cool. But that's like $50. Like $8 tickets. Listen, you still have to find a way to park or
parking.
Get like an Uber or Lyft. But. Like $8 tickets. And it's preseason, but like walk around SoFi. It's an amazing facility.
I didn't go, but I have several. So a lot of family members are Raider fans.
I feel you, though.
I even have a nephew who's a Chargers fan. And I think a lot of young people are really feeling the Chargers.
Yeah.
And that's
well,
great.
They
and
got
the
a good team on paper, but
yeah. That's what I was going to ask. Like growing up, like, LA sports fan, seeing kind of how it's evolved now with the Rams back. Do you think the Chargers, is it like Armand brings this up all the time. The Clippers didn't win a championship in that time with, you know, Lob City and that kind of hurt them and hurt their fan base, although they're really good still. But do the Chargers kind of need to win in this next couple of years to establish a fan base in Los Angeles?
They do. I believe that. However, this is Hollywood, okay?
Yeah.
And the Chargers are doing a great job trying to be flashy. I feel like they finally get it. You're not in, pardon me, you're not in San Diego anymore. Exactly. Okay, this is LA. St. Louis had to do the same thing.
What? Yeah. The when they Rams were playing got it. Yeah.
But not right away.
Not right
I
away.
I was at a game at the Coliseum where the Rams ran out of water.
By the way, that first season was so depressing.
That shouldn't happen. I was like, get it together,
I was at their, so they won two games by scoring like 6 points or less or something crazy like that. But the Rams, Alicia, they get it.
They did.
They go out and get big name players and they realize in SoFi Stadium, a $5 billion, you know, we have to get the big names. So that's, you know, the Stafford trade was so perfect because they could have been and said, hey, listen, we're a good team. But you're not a championship team. And in Los Angeles, as you know, you got to win the
whole
thing.
You got to win. And they will win. I mean, they're on the trajectory, right? Herbert.
That's right.
They got a good chance this year. I know Buffalo's
good. Just make the playoffs. Make the playoffs.
I think they'll win the division.
See, now that's awesome. And I'm a diehard Rams fan. I'm not sitting here cheering for the Chargers.
No.
But also, we're talking sports and realistically. Yeah. And in our business, we have to acknowledge greatness. And I think the Chargers are doing what they're supposed to be doing to keep getting younger. If you get them while they're young, chances are loyalty, it stays with you.
And that's also why Los Angeles fans are so mad at the Lakers, right? Because we want them to win a championship every year. And we're like, are they going to be good? They were terrible last year. That was the most disappointing Lakers team I think I've ever seen in my existence.
100% because you begin with three amazing players, let's just say on paper, prior to last season. I get the injuries, but like even when they were healthy, it just didn't feel right.
The chemistry wasn't there. I mean, we were talking about this before. Like, we think they'll be a much better team because they got a, I know Frank Vogel is a defensive coach, but Darvin Ham commands the locker room. He's a defensive coach. They're going to have a much better defense. That's half the battle. If you want to win a championship, you need to have a good defense. They're still lacking a little bit of shooting though, right?
I think you have to have LeBron all in. LeBron is LeBron James, whether you love him or hate him. He still doesn't have that adoration that Kobe had, right? Even Shaq has more love, and he wasn't a Laker for many years.
Yeah. You know? LeBron,
he can be polarizing. So if LeBron is all in, then help Laker fans get back on that.
I think they will. I think
they
LeBron
jump off
is
bridges so fast. Like, I know, right? Laker fans just.
I know, but LeBron is also, we have to remember, one of the more polarizing players, like you said, in the history of the game. His reputation, it hurts right now. Last year being terrible, he wants to win really bad. I think we're going to start seeing, you know, toward the end of the season when he had 50-point games and tried to will them into the playoffs, but the team around him sucked. Like, I think we're going to see that a bit earlier. He's going to have to go into playoff Bron mode early. They need to start winning games early. That was the problem last year. They waited till the end. It didn't, you know, come to fruition, right?
Hypothetically speaking, if the Clippers do win the championship, will we catch you at the parade?
If there is a parade. Come on, no. No.
Clippers parade.
I want to gauge how diehard Lakers you are.
No, so if you're asking me, do I hate the Clippers? I do not. Okay. I'm not one of those Laker fans. Yeah. I do have friends in the business. We do. You don't have to hate the Clippers to love the Lakers. I've got a lot of love in my heart. I hate the Celtics. Old school, loyal. I hate all things Boston.
I mean, when you see
all
that.
All things
when
New England. Yeah, there's no love.
Don't you want to throw up when you see that Celtic green on the court and everything? And just the colors and the city. And
Someone
oh my
gave
gosh.
Me a green Dodgers hat for St. Patrick's Day.
The worst.
And
the worst.
I wore it once and then I got, you know, like wicked evil eyes and stuff, and I was like, never again. It's like in my closet.
And then
thanks,
everyone,
Mom.
What about that whole conversation where people on Twitter, Laker fans, were like, I don't know to choose between the Warriors and South. What the heck are you talking about? Warriors.
Yeah.
Warriors.
100%.
For so many reasons, but starting with, hello, it's Boston.
Yeah, we're never rooting for the Celtics.
No, never,
right?
Never. And I actually feel bad for the Clippers, just like I. Yeah, I felt bad for the Chargers too. I don't know if it's the woman in me. Like, I'm a nurturer. Like, like, get it together, guys. Like, I
Clippers
hate the hate. You know, I hate the hate.
They're going to have a real good shot this year. I know we say that a lot about them, but
they need their own arena, their own space.
Which
I really
they will get.
That.
By the way, it looks amazing.
Yeah, they've got a great owner. Yeah. They've got a great owner. And
hopefully
that's
buys the Angels.
We got to talk about that. What do you think? So they will be sold. Their hope is that they can find that Mark Walter, Magic Johnson, Stan Kasten group. Because what they did as soon as they bought that team.
Oh, yeah.
Again, they've only won one World Series, but they are constantly a contender. They're one of the top five teams. their number one priority. You got two transcendent players. You got Mike Trout. You got Shohei.
Yeah.
Put a team around them. I don't know who's going to buy them. Could be Steve Ballmer, Stan Kroenke. Yeah, we'll see. But you have the pieces in place.
Bezos right. could do it too. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, could you imagine? Like, I say, and also go back to California. Stop with the Los Angeles.
Finally, someone agrees with me. I grew up, I'm a diehard Angels fan because my dad is, I know it sucks. I wish I was a Dodgers fan. I mean, I'm loyal. I'm like, I'm one of the most loyal people you'll ever meet. Like, I'm still 49ers to my grave, even though the Rams came back. But like, I said they should be the California Angels. Yeah. Their whole thing about that they brought up about the surfing and the California culture
own
and stuff.
The state.
Like exactly. Don't Los Angeles is always gonna be Dodgers. You know what I'm saying?
It's also redundant. The Los Angeles Angels. Like it just it
does of Anaheim. Just be of the Anaheim. California yeah. Angels.
Yeah. California is.
And by the way, go back to the Disney like uniforms. They were really like cool. That, the blue, like you know, like with the red. Like, right mean, now, they've such
Disney
plain.
Disney buy
uniform.
Them again?
That'd be interesting.
Possible.
I don't know.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard rumors that there are Japanese groups.
I'd be in, well, yeah.
I've heard
Shohei.
That Vegas, like, they're going to be taken
Vegas
to Vegas.
Vegas wants a team there.
But then they were saying that Shohei wants to be traded. God, I wish he was a Dodger.
I know.
Oh, man.
That would be amazing.
I, like, foam at the mouth. Like, I'm rabid for Ohtani. I love Ohtani.
I know the Angels are second fiddle. I really doubt with how rich California is. And, like, I doubt they go to Vegas because I think the A's are going to go to Vegas at some point, right?
The A's have to go somewhere. Yeah. Pobrecitos. Oh, my God.
The AAA team in Las Vegas is drawing more fans right now
than the A's. No, it's true.
Well, look at what the A's are recently famous for right now.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that on TMZ?
Yeah,
well, no one goes to the game, so they were like, you know.
I heard that was a myth, that they were like.
No, that's true.
It has been
It was
confirmed.
Like a Kodak Black situation at the Florida Panthers game.
Okay, like, so did they get arrested for that? What?
I think there's an investigation. Is okay. what
like,
I
who
heard.
Are those people?
Last night on Twitter, I was like, oh, boy.
That's when you know you're bad. When people have to do that, they're so like, this team sucks so bad, we're just going to have fun at the game, you know?
I don't go to the A's games anymore because it was just so infested. Oh, the bathrooms didn't work.
It's a terrible stadium.
I haven't been to a game in years. Yeah. And I feel so bad because Oakland keeps losing their team.
I know. This is their last one.
Yeah.
And can you imagine if they lose two to Las Vegas?
They're going to, well, yeah, they are.
They are. It's probably going to happen.
They are.
It's
you know, it's going to happen.
Alicia, you're a massive sports fan. You have not like always done sports, but you have a very popular sports podcast. By the way, our show is on the radio, but we're also on the Believe Network, which I believe. So tell us about your, I know, what about your podcast?
So our podcast is called Bleed Los, which is like Bleed Blue, yeah. Bleed Los Angeles. I didn't create the name. I came into the podcast or onto the podcast late. My co-host Juan and Alonso and Babyface, Dodgers Beat, nice. He's our producer. They brought me on. It's been so much fun. I started as a guest, but we had such a fun time. And I will admit right here, I'm never going to lie to you guys, podcasting is not my strength.
Sure.
It's something that I'm just getting used to. It's not news. It's not. This is more fun because we get to be together. We have to do everything online. And there's that weird, sometimes it feels like a
on
press
Zoom,
conference.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Like your turn, you talk. There's no bouncing.
When we do it over Zoom, it's not the same.
It's tougher. It's tougher.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's worse.
I'm saying
it's tougher.
Issues,
yeah,
you know.
It's so I'm still coming along. I'm still enjoying talking Dodgers, all things Dodgers. We talk LA cultura because we are the only Latinos talking
that.
About the Dodgers, which doesn't that blow your mind?
Like when
have
I think of the Dodgers,
have you looked at the stadium?
Exactly.
It's like 75% Latino.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I mean, we got mariachis now on Tuesdays.
Well, what about Toscano Anderson? You brought up getting the mural. I told
He's
him
the
this
most
was going to happen.
Popular Laker right now, probably.
I told him it was going to happen.
Toscano Anderson.
Oh, yes, yeah. The Lakers.
He's got a mural for
already. I knew that would happen.
See, we are thirsty for representation.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, a celebrity friend of ours who used to go to a lot of Dodger games, he says he does not like the way the Dodgers are treating Urias.
Oh.
That he thinks Urias is going to leave.
Uh-oh.
And that he is upset that they don't bring more Mexican players.
And by the way, what an amazing, I mean, you know, the final out of the World Series, was it George Lopez? No, I'm just kidding. By the way, it's one of those things where he is a part of the Dodgers history. The final out of our first World Series in 32 years.
And
30,
he's,
Yeah.
He's been the most consistent pitcher on the team the past 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes under unnoticed. Like, everyone's like, oh, you know, like, who's going to start game one? Like, is it Dustin May now since he's back? It's probably Urias. As good as Gonsolin is, Urias has been the most consistent pitcher for the past 3 years. So you got to roll out
he's
Urias.
He's a pitcher.
Right?
A lot. Brandon Deutsch is quite the pitcher himself.
Yeah, I appreciate it. trying to be. Yeah, yeah. I still don't throw hard enough to get signed, though. I need to be 95.
So you guys, we should have you on our podcast.
That's right.
Alonso is also a former pitcher.
Okay, nice.
Oh, is he actually?
So when in college, so when we have pitchers on, like we had Gonsolin on, and we had Gonsolin ended up talking about wrestling, and I know my friend here, Arash, is such a wrestling.
Massive wrestling.
Yeah, massive. Yeah, I've seen the belts.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we had Fluffy, Gabriel Iglesias on. He's a huge.
He's a massive fan.
I'm learning about wrestling just by association, like osmosis, just being near it.
We knew nothing about it until.
I'm taking you to SoFi Stadium. We're going to WrestleMania. We're definitely making it happen.
Okay, you heard it. Your witness
is. It's already on. Yeah, we have to do it.
So fun.
Oh, it's amazing.
I just learned about Suck It.
Yeah.
I'm going through the generations.
Yeah.
With China, Miss Elizabeth.
Miss Elizabeth, like, old school.
Hulk Hogan versus Randy, man. I'm learning all of that.
Oh, my gosh. So you did not watch when you were a kid? Okay, wow.
I was always wondering if our boys were jumping on each other.
Yeah, we were like, what is this? And it's kind of, it's entertaining.
I grew up with Rey Mysterio and like The Undertaker. Ooh, so I did watch, but I wasn't like obsessed with it.
I see. Oh, yeah, because we had some people on the show and I thought that they would be very excited. They had no idea what I was talking about.
Saw Mysterio, again, learning my wrestling. That's he got married with his mask on.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, wow. Probably not for his wife, but she probably didn't like that much, but, you know.
I think that's cool.
Pulls off the veil and he's got a mask.
We didn't answer the Clippers parade question, and I'm really curious about that because we know that
I won't be there.
By the way, I don't think the Clippers would have a parade. I think that they would realize that it would be it's going to be embarrassing. Like, who's going
to... What do they do at their stadium?
They're going to have fans? Or they're going to have, like, a rally or something like that. Like, I really don't believe, because I think the look of, like...
Oh, no.
I don't know how many people...
What happens if the Chargers win the Super Bowl?
I don't think they'll have a parade. They'll have like a rally. They'll do like a lot, like some kind of a
Chargers.
Rally.
I like the Chargers. See, because I'm a 49ers fan, so I can't like
the Chargers.
Rams,
cannot succeed here because they're viewed as San Diego's team.
No, but I have to be loyal. I would. The Rams weren't here. I can't betray my 49ers. I grew up a 49ers.
The timing of the Rams Niners parade fans. Was like weird too, right? It was like 10:30 on a it was like just a weird and you know.
It's okay. Here's the thing is I don't expect everyone to be Rams fans.
Exactly.
But you said it yourself. When you win in this town.
Oh,
you
you're legends.
And I cannot tell you how happy I am. Again, we've been going to Rams games since they were even in Anaheim as a little girl.
Yeah. Wow.
I had to take my dad to the Super Bowl. Just had to.
Oh, yeah.
And it was those tickets were hard to get, super expensive. Exactly. I don't make that Dallas Reigns money. So I was like, I called in favors and I finally got a pair, took my dad. My dad's like a macho, Chicano, right? And he got kind of like...
Like machismo?
Yeah, or? He got a little teary-eyed. He had something in his eye. It was a big deal for him to see the Rams win here because we went to Atlanta and watched that boring-ass game.
Oh, my God. That was the worst Super Bowl of
all
time.
That was the worst, most boring game. Anyway, so I made sure we were there. And my point of all of this, gentlemen, is that to see all these kids with their parents,
that's
the
huge.
Rams are doing it right.
Yeah.
At the Dodger game, another sold-out game last night, so many kids with their parents. It's just generational and very diverse. This is LA. That's another thing, what I love about living here, being here. And don't get me started on the East Coast bias. We'll do that another day.
Yeah. East Coast bias. But by the way, like at the end of the day, it's all about championships. It's all about who won and lost. And so they can knock the championships that we won during the pandemic. But the fact of the matter is, the past 2 years, the Lakers have won, the Dodgers have won, the Rams have won, and it will just continue. Maybe the Chargers and Clippers. It'll be great.
Do you guys
think
the Rams can run it back? I mean, history says they won't, but... I mean,
my view is that they can, but they won't.
NFC.
I like the Chargers a little bit more, but we will have to do this again with Alicia Del Valle, our favorite, my favorite,
LA,
your
baby.
Favorite. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy. West side.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing. Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.